Morning, everybody. How are we this morning? Wonderful, good. Okay, so there's a. Can you hear me? I've never heard that before, so I guess I'll have to speak up. My mic on and everything? Okay. We are busy people. As Ivan said, my name is Dan Schubert, and many of you know me from my years here in Awana. I've been working in Awana for the last 4 years. Still, many of you might recognize me from when I was a kid. My parents actually attended this church for many years, and I grew up here, coming here from first grade until about sixth or seventh grade. We attended here at the church on a regular basis. And most of you who know me know that I am a very busy person. Now, one of the reasons that I'm here this morning is because I am one of the missionaries here at the church, and I work as Ivan said. I currently serve for Victory Ministries of Alaska at Camp Liwa here in Fairbanks as the program director. But other than that, other than working 30 hours a week at the camp, I also, some of you might know, I work part-time at Bethel Church as their youth ministry assistant. I work about 20 hours a week there with the junior high program. On top of that, I have been helping here for the last 4 years in the Awana program on Tuesday nights. I help lead a high school small group on Wednesday evenings. And then on top of all that, I try to keep a kind of healthy social life. So I am very busy. Now, I say I am busy, and some of you might be thinking, ha, you think you're busy. You know, I am a mom of 5 kids, and I have to bring 3 of them to soccer practice 5 times a week. On top of that, I homeschool each one of them throughout the year, including the summers, because they're behind on their schoolwork. And on top of that, I bring my daughters to dance lessons. And I try to be a wife or a father or wherever you are on the basis. And you think, hi, you're single, Dan Schubert. I mean, you're busy as a single man, Dan Schubert. You should try doing what I do. And so I would say we are all busy. Some of us thrive off of being busy. We love staying busy because maybe you feel like you are contributing to the world. And if you're not busy, then you're not doing anything. Especially those of us who are in ministry, we can often say, stay busy, stay so busy doing things for God that we forget to spend time with God. Is your life so busy doing things for others that you don't have time to breathe? You think about all the things that you're doing for God, that God is doing through you, that you often forget that God is also working in you. Wherever you are today in life, I know this is true. God is at work more in you than through you. Will you pray with me this morning? Lord, I thank you so much for your word, that it is the revelation of God to us, that we can know you through the written scripture, Lord. And this morning, as you have given me the privilege to speak and teach through your word this morning, I ask, Father, that you would just work through me, Lord, here as I teach and I speak what you have laid on my heart. But God, I also pray that you'd be working in me, that I would not simply be a mouthpiece, Lord, for your word, but I would also be a man who lives according to your word, and that I would be a man who is at work personally, growing closer to you, Lord. I pray for all those who are here this morning, and I ask that you would just let your word speak to them, and that, Lord, your Holy Spirit would just do a work here today, that you would do a mighty thing here in this place. Thank you for all that you're doing, and I pray, God, that you continue to do these things in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would open your Bibles to the book of Jonah, we are going to be looking at the book of Jonah, doing a very quick study through the entire book. This is a very familiar story to many of us. We heard this story of Jonah as a small child, most likely in a Sunday school classroom. You might have been lucky enough to have flannel graphs. And a big whale-like fish that they stuck on the flannel graph, and you know all about Jonah and the whale. It's a very classic story. But this is actually one of my all-time favorite books of the Bible, because it teaches us a lot about the God's heart for humanity. Now, what do we know about Jonah? Well, we know that he is a prophet. Okay, you might not know this, but Jonah was a prophet during the reign of Jeroboam II. After King Solomon, the son of David, died, his son, Solomon's son, Rehoboam, was very stupid and made some very foolish mistakes that ended up breaking the country of Israel apart into a northern and southern part of Israel. The southern part being still retaining the kingdom of Israel, and the northern part retaining the kingdom of Israel, and the southern part retaining the kingdom of Judah. Now, Jonah was a prophet in the kingdom, in the northern kingdom, and he was a prophet during the reign of Jeroboam II, who was not a very nice guy. He was a wicked king. But we know that Jonah prophesied in 2 Kings 14:25 that the Lord would expand the borders of Israel under Jeroboam II. You want to look that up? That's in 2 Kings 14:25. That's the only mention we have of Jonah outside of the book of Jonah. And so we know this about Jonah simply from the context of who Jonah is, that God used him to speak out against wicked people and speak for God in a wicked generation. Now, being a prophet of God, you can imagine that Jonah was a pretty important person, pretty busy, and he was. He was very busy. He was used by God throughout his life. But as we see in the book of Jonah, God is more worried about working in the life of Jonah than through Jonah. So let's just do a crash course through this book and see how God is working in Jonah's life and also through Jonah. Read with me here in Jonah chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. All right, so we know this about Jonah. He was called to Nineveh. Not Ninana, Nineveh, okay? Sounds very similar. Nineveh, for those of you who might not be, have not taken a crash course in ancient Israel and the ancient area during this time, Nineveh was approximately 500 miles away from Samaria, the capital of northern Israel. And the town is described here in the book as a great city. All right? And we are told in Jonah 3:3 that the city and its surrounding suburbs, most likely, was 3 days long in length. If you were to walk through the city, it would take about 3 days. So it's very large, big city, big area. But it's not only great because of its size, it's also great because of its evil. All right, something you should definitely be known for. It is a wicked city, and in Jonah 3:8, we're told that the town is especially known for its violence. Actually, if you study ancient history, the Ninevites were terroristic in their war efforts. We actually can read in some of the quotations we have of their conquests. Here's one, for example. This is from a Ninevite general that's found in history. He writes, "I stormed the mountain peaks and told them and took them. In the midst of the mighty mountains, I slaughtered them all. And their blood I dyed the mountain like wool. The heads of their warriors I cut off, and I formed them into a pillar over against their city. Their young men and their maidens I burned with fire." Sounds like good people to have over for dinner today. Another excerpt from a separate general at this time wrote, "I filleted him, the king of that country, and his skin I spread upon the wall of the city." The Ninevites were wicked, evil people. They used violence to have the people they took over submit to them as their new leaders. They were scary. And so why does Jonah run? Why does Jonah run away from these people? Well, there may be fear. I don't think any of you would volunteer to run into the most dangerous area of the world. Maybe today it would be northern Korea, if God called you to North Korea to go and prophesy against that country for all that they are doing. I don't think most of us would be like gung-ho about that. So maybe Jonah left because of fear. Maybe he left because he knew that the Assyrians, Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, was soon to take over northern Israel. If you know your history of the Bible, Assyria marches into northern Israel and takes over them. And Hosea, a contemporary of Jonah, wrote in Hosea 11:5, "Will they not return to Egypt, and will not Assyria rule over them because they refuse to repent?" In other words, Jonah would have known that Assyria, Nineveh being the capital, was going to be taking over northern Israel, his home. So maybe fear, maybe because of this prophecy, but we actually know the answer why he ran away in Jonah chapter 4 and verse 2. He ran away because he knew God's compassion for people. It actually says in Jonah 4:2, Jonah prayed to the Lord, "Is this not what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to foretell by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity." So Jonah runs from God because he knows God's character. And he knows that God is a forgiving and compassionate God. Jonah does not want God to forgive his enemies that he is unwilling to forgive. Sounds like a real hero of the story, am I right? So he runs away. He runs. And we all know that when you run from God, you can't outrun him for very long. And for those of us who know the story of Jonah, God pursues Jonah in many ways. For starters, on this little boat heading to Tarshish, we know, many of you know, God sends a big old storm to wake up Jonah, because he's actually asleep in the ship. In Jonah 1, verse 4, we are told that the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so the ship threatened to break up. Yet Jonah is asleep in the heart of the ship, and we see, secondly, that God pursues Jonah by speaking through the captain of the ship. In verse 6 of chapter 1, it says, "So the captain came and said to Jonah, 'What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we will not perish.'" There is purposeful parallelism between what the captain says in verse 6 and the Lord's call upon Jonah earlier in the book. He tells him to arise and call out. Verse 3, still Jonah's not following after God, and so we see the third thing, and that the sailors cast lots, and the lot falls upon Jonah, we're told next. Actually, in Proverbs 16:33, we're told that the lot is cast into the lap, but every decision from the lot comes from the Lord. And so God works even in this, the drawing of straws. So Jonah, realizing that the only way to appease an angry God is through sacrifice, through death, he hurls himself into the sea. But God, in love and mercy, continues to pursue Jonah and by sending a great fish. In verse 17 of chapter 1, we see the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. So Jonah has run from God, and God is pursuing Jonah's heart because he wants to work. He is working in the heart of Jonah and also through Jonah, but more so in Jonah. In the belly of the fish, we see that Jonah prays to God. Pretty good. He's praying to God. But interestingly, like, study it for yourself, but there isn't a whole lot of repentant wording in chapter 2. There's nowhere in here that Jonah says, "I'm sorry," or "forgive me for my sins." It's more of a prayer of thanksgiving and obedience. In verse 8 of chapter 2, he says, "Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake the hope of steadfast love. But with the voice of thanksgiving, I will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord." And so we see God graciously, in a hilarious fashion, vomits Jonah out upon the dry land. And for those of you who may not have remembered from earlier when I said that I teach junior high at Bethel, they love the idea that the word vomit is in the Bible. So God vomits Jonah out on the dry land, and Jonah begrudgingly obeys God in chapter 3. We're actually told specifically that the city of Nineveh is a 3 days journey walk. And we are told specifically in chapter 3, Jonah walks one-third of the way into the city and gives the world's shortest sermon known to man. He says, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." That's in Jonah 3, verse 4. That's his sermon. It's very interesting. There is no mention of God or sin or what the Ninevites should do. It's almost as if Jonah is purposely sabotaging his efforts to obey God. Yet God uses this five-word sermon, it is five words in Hebrew, for a hilariously over-the-top repentance from the Ninevites. From the least of them to the greatest, they turn to God saying, "Who knows? Let us leave the violence from our hands. Who knows? Maybe God will relent and not destroy us." I love it. And so they repent from their sins, and Jonah, still angry, in chapter 4, heads up to a hillside just in case the Ninevites turn back and maybe they repent of their repentance and God does destroy them. In chapter 4, we find a very angry and bitter Jonah hoping for the destruction of his enemies. And still, in chapter 4, we see God pursuing the heart of Jonah. The same God that would come over 400 years later in the man Jesus Christ, who taught through object lessons and stories, now teaches Jonah through an object lesson with a little vine. God appoints a vine in Jonah 4, verse 6, to bring Jonah comfort from the hot day. And then the next day, he destroys this vine by a worm. And Jonah is at the point of bitterness and death in anger. He cries out to God in chapter 4 saying, "It is better for me to die because the vine is dead and I'm no longer comforted." And God uses this vine in chapter 4 to compare to the people of Nineveh. Jonah, who is so angered and bitter against the Ninevites for their violence, is unwilling to see that the Lord wants to save the Ninevites. And so the Lord uses a vine to teach Jonah an important lesson. At the end of the book, finishes with God's words, verse 10 of chapter 4, says, "You pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle?" So cows are important as well. The book of Jonah asks this question: are you okay with God forgiving your enemies? It ends with a very simple question. And we don't have Jonah's response. We don't know if Jonah repents of his sins ultimately. But we do know this. There's many things I could say about the book of Jonah. But we do know this. That God is more interested in working in Jonah than through Jonah. Now, God does work through Jonah. We see this. Amazingly. In chapter 1, we see pagan sailors. Those who would not even know the name of God. After the whole crazy storm and them throwing Jonah into the ocean, we see in verse 16 of chapter 1 that the sailors, the pagan sailors, end up being God worshipers. We're told in verse 16 that the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. So through all of this, Jonah running away, God used Jonah to bring about repentance from these pagan sailors. We also know God uses the five-word sermon to bring about an entire city turning to God. So yes, God works through Jonah. Even though Jonah doesn't really want to be worked by God, he doesn't want to be in God's service, it seems, God still works through this begrudging, bitter prophet. But God is working far more in Jonah's life. What was Jonah's problem? He was not okay with God forgiving his enemies because he was unwilling to forgive his own enemies. Jonah did not want God to forgive the Ninevites because, according to Jonah, they were not worthy of the forgiveness of God. The book of Jonah shows God's love for all people, and specifically, it shows God's love for Jonah. Because throughout the book of Jonah, we see, even as the prophet is running from God, God is pursuing the prophet. Everything God is doing throughout this book is to work in the life of Jonah. From sending him to his hated enemies, to pursuing him graciously, to teaching him through the vine. This is all to teach Jonah and to work in him. Now, at the opening of my talk today, I asked, we talked about how busy we are. And oftentimes we think that being busy is a good thing. And many times it is a good thing. In just about 2 weeks, I'm going to be starting up summer camp staff training. So about 35 young people. I say young people because they're younger than me. Between the ages of 16 to 22, we're going to have about 35 staff members show up and are going to be super excited to be at camp. They've been thinking about coming and working at camp. I, as the camp program director, I get the privilege of training them and getting them ready for the summer. And this saying, I tell them early on in the week, that God is going to work more in you than through you. Oftentimes, we believe when we are on mission for God that God's going to do amazing things through us. But God is seeking the heart of those who work for him, just as much as he is working to work through them. We see this in the life of Jonah, and I see this every summer at Camp Liwa. Every summer, I see young men and women come to the camp expecting they're going to do amazing things for God, and they do. But what I get the privilege of seeing is God doing amazing things in their lives as well. God often works more in us than through us. So my question for you this morning, church, is, are you meeting with God on a regular basis? With your busyness and hectic lives, are you taking the time to stop and sit at the feet of Jesus and allow Jesus to work in your life? Or are you simply staying busy for God, doing his work, forgetting that he is also pursuing your heart? No matter how busy you are, God wants to meet with you. This morning, as I was preparing for my lesson, I actually read John 15, the parable of the vine and the branches. We see some striking words that Jesus uses in this passage, talking about that we ought to abide in God. And apart from God, we can do nothing. These are very startling words, especially for those of us who are in ministry or serving the church in some capacity. We think that our busyness ultimately will feed our souls. But what feeds our souls is spending time abiding in the vine. What feeds our souls is spending time with God. God wants to work more in you than through you. And if we try running on empty, we're told in John 15 that apart from me, you can do nothing. The story of Jonah is an incredible story that teaches us this, that God wants to work more in us than through us. What I'm going to do is I'm going to close this out in prayer. and then I would like to give you guys a little bit of an update on what's going on at Camp Liwa and how God has been working in my life as well as through me these last few months. So let me go ahead and pray, and then I'll give you guys an update. God, we do thank you, Lord, that the story of Jonah is a radical story full of irony and hilarious situations. A man is eaten up by a fish and begrudgingly obeys you. God, we see the prophet who is not the hero of the story of Jonah, but you are God, because you faithfully pursue Jonah. God, I know this, that you are faithfully pursuing all of us. That, Lord, even when we are busy and we keep our lives on a hectic schedule, we don't even have time to breathe, we know, Lord, that you want to meet with us, and that apart from you, we can do nothing. God, this morning, as we think about Jonah and we think about your mission here on earth as you work in Camp Liwa and other ministries, I pray, God, that everyone here would remember to meet with you, that, Lord, we would not become so busy that we forget our first love. I pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right. So, how is God working through me at Camp Liwa? That's a good question. I am the program director at camp, and that is a great privilege, as I already spoke on in my short sermonette. I get the privilege of training the summer staff. A lot of my winter is spent preparing for summer. I spend a lot of time on social media and on the phone talking to staff members or possible staff members, trying to get them to come on out to the camp. This past January and February, I actually got the privilege of hosting three different retreats that Camp Liwa ran. Our first retreat was a staff retreat. We invited back summer staff members for a weekend of refreshment and reflection. That happened in January. And then a week or so earlier than that, we did a SALT retreat. For those of you who are not aware, at Camp Liwa, we have a program called SALT, which is Servant in Leadership Training. It's a program for those students who are in high school. They come for 2 weeks. They get to learn all about what it is to be a servant leader and how they can serve the camp and others, but also what it means to be a leader and how that's found in Jesus Christ. And so we invited back those kids who had gone through that program last year, and we did a retreat in January. That was a blast. We had about 30 kids there. Also in February, we had a high school retreat. We just invited back high school students, whether they'd come to camp or not, and we invited them out for an overnight camp, and we got to speak to them through the Word of God, and that was fantastic. So I got to run three different retreats this past January and February. That's one way that God worked through me. One of the other things, this spring, we had two different open houses at the camp. In March, we had an open house for the barn and the riding program. If you guys don't know, Camp Liwa has a riding program for all ages. You can sign up by getting on our list, first come, first serve, and we try to get you in and get an opportunity to ride on the horses. We did it all year round. Our horses work all year round. And so we did an open house for our barn in March, and I got to be involved in that, leading people around the barn and allowing people to get involved at camp. We also had an event a week or so back for our new dining and retreat center that we're hoping to build, have built hopefully by 2017. That would be fantastic, and I'll touch on that here in a few minutes. And so I got an opportunity to work and serve during that weekend as well. And so a lot of just community outreach and talking with people. I am also working on getting ready for camp, everything from ordering camp supplies to writing curriculum to cleaning summer buildings and making sure we have all of our craft supplies, and we have things in the activity shed. I get to do all of that this time of year as well. So I'm very busy working at camp. So that's one of the ways that God's working through me at Camp Liwa. How has God been working in me at Camp Liwa? One of the things he's been doing in my personal life is he has just been continuing to teach me the importance of his word and being disciplined to be in his word every day. This is a lesson that I continue to learn as I get older. And as I touched on this morning, one of my all-time favorite verses that comes back to my mind is in John chapter 15, which says that apart from me, you can do nothing. if I try to stay busy in ministry, but I'm not abiding in the word of Christ, I oftentimes am running on empty, and it's not good. And so one thing that he's been working in my life is the importance of meeting with him in the morning before I come into my day of work. Secondly, he's continuing to teach me self-control and disciplines, whether it's in exercise or just the way that I use my time, something that God has been teaching me in my life. One thing that recently he's just been teaching me is the importance of encouraging one another and the power of my words. We work at Camp Lywa in a very close-knit community, people that we work with, we also live on the same property with. And so one thing that God has just been placing on my heart is the importance of using encouraging words with each other and not being harsh, as words are very effective. Recently I had somebody ask me, you're still at camp, how long are you going to be there, that kind of thing. And I often say that I'm still at Camp Lywa because God is still working in me there. He's still teaching me a lot while I'm there. And so God, I would very much say that God is working more in me than through me in my ministry at the camp. So church, how can you be praying for Camp Lywa? It's a good question. Glad you asked it, or I asked it for you. We could use prayer in many ways. It's funny. Camp is a very busy place, and because of how busy we are, sometimes people get really scared to like volunteer their time. Like, oh, I can't volunteer out there. I don't have a whole summer to be out there. That's a lot of work. I'm so busy. I can't put camp on my plate. Well, if you can't come to camp, be there in prayer. Pray for camp. Prayer is an effective, amazing tool that the Lord has blessed us with. And so please be in prayer for camp. Even if you can't physically come out there and visit or come out this weekend for the family work retreat, pray. Pray for camp. We have over 500 children that come through our facility in the 2 months of summer camp. And those kids, our goal is that each one of them would grow one step closer in their relationship with Christ. So whatever that looks like, whether they have never heard the name of Jesus or they are nominal Christians at best because they've just been coming to church their whole life, we want them to grow closer to Jesus. That means we need your prayer this summer. Believe me, if that's our goal, we are going to be spiritually attacked or try to be distracted or stopped. And so please pray for camp and our ministry this summer. One big thing that I would ask that you pray for specifically is we are still in need of a few more staff positions. Specifically, we have a need for 2 more girl counselors. Girl counselors need to be at least 18. We can kind of fudge it, and if they're 17 and turning 18 in the fall, but we try to get 18-year-olds, those girl counselors need to be 18 or between 18 or early 20s. We have a couple girls this summer who are going to be on staff that are about 21, 22 years old. And so if you know anybody who would be a good fit for counseling, please be praying that we get these positions filled. We have 2 weeks to find 2 girl counselors. So please be praying. I can't sit on the phone and convince college-age students to volunteer their summer. God can convince that. So please be praying for that. Another staffing position we need is we need a cook to run our second half of our day in the kitchen. So be praying that God fills that position. We need somebody who can help out finishing up lunch and then running dinner for us so that way we can effectively feed the kids this summer. So staffing needs is something that you could definitely be praying for. Another thing that you could be praying is that we fill up our camps. One thing I say is that we cannot minister to empty bunks. So it's not a number thing. We're not trying to, we got 600 campers. We're an amazing camp. It's just that if we have 600 campers versus 500 campers, that's 100 more kids hearing about Jesus Christ. And so pray that our camps hit capacity this summer. It would be fantastic if we had waiting lists and we had to like put extra mattresses on the floor so that more kids could come. So pray for summer camp and pray for the capacity of kids. Finally, one big prayer request that we have is please be praying for our dining or retreat center that we are trying to get built here this next year. A couple dates that I would encourage you to pray specifically for are May 21st and June 21st. Can't remember those. Just remember summer solstice, June 21st, and then a month earlier than that is May 21st. Those 2 days are days that we have a couple granting organizations that are going to be making their decisions about whether or not they want to help us out on May 21st and June 21st, two different granting organizations. So please be in prayer about these as well. Pray for the Dining Retreat Center. We still need a large amount of money to finish the building up. We are hopefully going to be enclosing it this summer. That's the plan. But as you might imagine, equipping a summer kitchen and that kind of thing that we use year-round takes money and volunteers. And so just continue to pray for this as well. So in conclusion, as a reminder, pray for our staffing needs for the summer, pray for our campers this summer, and pray for the Dining and Retreat Center. Those are the three things. So I thank you guys for letting me come on up today and talk to you guys about what God's placed in my heart in the book of Jonah. Thank you for letting me share what I've been doing at camp, and I do appreciate your financial support for me. If you have any questions about anything that I've shared this morning, feel free to come talk to me after the service. If you weren't here the last time I spoke and you're curious, like, how did this Daniel guy get to camp? I'd love to share my story of how I got to camp with you if you're interested in that. And so I'm going to go ahead and close this once again in prayer. If you have any more questions, please be willing to come on up to me. I'm not a scary person. I'd love to chat with you. So let's go ahead and pray once more. God, we lift up to you, Lord, Camp Liwa. God, we ask that you would just be with this camp this summer as we are still in need of two girl counselors as well as a cook to run our second half of the day to finish up supper and help with dinner. We don't know if the cook's going to be multiple people this summer. We don't know who these last two girls are for the summer staff. But Lord, we know that you're in charge. And so, God, you already have in mind these people. And so I pray that we would be just patient, but also that we would continue to serve you and let the people know that these are needs, Lord. And may the girls who need to come up to camp this summer, may they just obediently follow you, Lord, in what you're doing. We also pray, God, for the campers this summer. We pray for each of the lives that are coming out that are going to be affected by the words that are spoken in the cabins. I pray, God, that you would just, your name would be glorified and that we would have an enormous number of kids this summer. That, Lord, we would just be amazed by the amount of kids that come and accept Christ and grow in their relationship with you, Lord. All of these things cannot be done apart from you. And finally, Lord, we pray that you would just be with, God, the Dining and Retreat Center, God. We pray that you would just do a work there, that you would just build up some workers that would be willing to come out and help in with electric and plumbing and installing things and building, Lord. We pray that you would just give, just be with these granting organizations, but also the people in the community that that people would be willing to give of their own finances to help with this project that would greatly influence so many people here in Fairbanks and the surrounding area. God, we lift all these things up to you, and thank you so much for your work at camp and in my life and in all the lives of those here, God. Thank you, Lord, that you work in us as well as through us. In Jesus' name, amen. John 15, verse 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. This week, as you guys head out, remember to meet with the Lord, abide in his word, and grow in him. Thanks for being here today.